Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you so much for the privilege to pray. For the Bible, the Word of the living God. Absolute truth and absolute reality. There is none like it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our military. And how God has blessed it and blessed America. We thank you for our policemen and women, law enforcement of every kind. And I know there's so many out there of different levels that do so much we are not fully aware of. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for what is before us this morning. 144,000 flaming Jewish evangelists standing for Christ, not bowing down to anyone, but standing their ground in honor and integrity, being obedient to the Lord regardless of the cost. But it is nice to know you started out with 144,000 and you ended with 144,000. You do not lose those who are in your possession. Thank you for that. Eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Not a Baptist saying. It's a biblical saying. And it all has to do with your grace. Grace we speak, grace we pray, grace we sing. There's nothing like the grace of God. I pray that it will stir us this morning. Your grace, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we thank you for Jesus. We'll always thank you and praise you. And offer all that is good unto you. So Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open every heart, every mind. To hear, to believe, to understand, to grasp, to take in. To possess. Give us understanding of what is before us here in this printout. That we realize that we are signed, sealed, and delivered. We that are in Christ. And I am thankful of the blessed assurance of our salvation in Christ. And we will never lose it. Amen. And amen. Take your pen, if you will. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Let's begin with the introduction. In chapter 7, we read of 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel who will go throughout the world preaching the gospel, that is the good news that Jesus Christ has given us. Although they will be targets of Antichrist persecution here in the middle of the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, we see not 143,999 witnesses, but 144,000. In other words, they all make it through. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you say, well, that's good. They started out with 144,000. They're going to end with 144,000. Well, what about me? I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Am I a true spiritual possession of Jesus Christ and God the Father? The answer is yes. Is there any way that I can get lost on the journey from the moment of salvation until Jesus Christ comes for me? The answer is no. I'm not going to be lost. I am truly deity position of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read what I'm going to read here. It is in the Message. So that is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Here we go. It's in Christ, the Anointed One. And again, when was Jesus Christ the Anointed One? In eternity past, before anything was created or anything existed, Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Trinity. It is by divine decree, therefore it is non-negotiable. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth, that is the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ has given us, and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed. I don't know what word you have there, but when I see the word signed, I'm going to ask, who signed me? Well, it was who? It was Christ and who? It was the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, so I didn't sign myself. Since I did not sign myself, can I unsign myself? Is there any sin that I can commit that will cause me to lose this signature that came by grace, by way of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son? Then there's another word that concerns me. It is the word sealed. Do you seal yourself at salvation? The answer is no. Who seals you at salvation? All right, the Holy Spirit. So in order to become unsealed, and let me throw this in real quick, if you become unsealed, you lose your salvation, right? So I'm not going to become unsealed. I did not seal myself. I cannot do that. But in salvation, it comes with the package. And delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned, and He planned that out in eternity past, for us as His children, a praising and glorious life. Now let's go back to the printout here. Then He says in verse 1, then I looked, underline the word looked, and here's what it says in the original language. This is calling special attention to the greatness of the sight. Then I looked, and this is what I saw, the Lamb. Underline the word Lamb. It is a reference to Jesus Christ Himself. And you ask, what is so great about this Lamb? He is standing. The word standing or stood means to stand in a victorious state. Here we have an advanced picture of our ultimate victory, you'll notice, in the Lamb who is standing. Then I looked, and this is what I saw, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, standing in a victorious stance. That means firmly established on Mount Zion. Underline Mount Zion. This is the literal Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And with Him, 144,000 who had His name. Underline the word His and write Jesus Christ, because we're talking about the name of Jesus Christ. So the name of the Lamb proclaims their redemption by blood. And redemption by blood is simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And His Father's name, underline that phrase, His Father's name, it is proclaiming relationship by new birth. When you turn to John chapter 3, you can read about the new birth. And Jesus says, without apology, you must be born again. You must be spiritually born from above. So there is a spiritual birth, and then there is to be a supernatural birth if you're going to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And you'll notice there is a name, the Son's name and the Father's name is inscribed on their foreheads, signifying God's own possession. So when do you become the possession of the Father and the Son? At the moment of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of great waters. Underline that phrase, the sound of great waters. It means there is the majesty of the sound. All other voices are drowned out. So like the sound of great waters and like the rumbling of mighty thunder. Underline those two words, mighty thunder. It is a reference to the authority of the sound. No other voice can compete with this voice that we're reading about. And the voice that I heard seemed like music and was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. Underline the word harps. It'll take you to voice of sweetness, a voice of tenderness, and a voice of gentleness. And they, underline the word they, it is a reference to the 144,000, and they sang a new song. Underline those two words, new and song. This is really interesting here. Experiences on earth prepare us for praise in the future. I'm going to repeat that. Experiences on earth prepare us for praise in the future. And get this second note. No one may sing beyond their experiences. No one may sing beyond their experiences. Say somebody's singing, and we're all singing Amazing Grace. If you were up here looking out at the people that were singing Amazing Grace, some would be moving their lips. It would not have much interest to them at all. Then there would be some that would be holding their hands up like this, and I want to say to all the Baptists, it is okay to do that if you are holding them up because the Holy Spirit is holding them up. Now, some are going to sing with tears that are going to come out of their eyes and stream down their face. Why? Because as they sing about Amazing Grace, they are remembering all of the times that they experienced the amazing grace of Almighty God in hardship, in adversity, and trials, and tribulations. So there's a difference in the way that people are going to sing the same song when they come to the house of God. And I want you to remember that. Now repeat that. No one may sing beyond their experiences. So somebody says sometimes, hey, look over there. I mean, that woman is really into this song. Or look over there, that man is really into this song. You know why? Once again, they are singing about their experiences. Yes, does it get emotional? You better believe it gets emotional. It is good to have recall in your life to remember what God did at a time that you really needed Him. By the way, what is grace? It is God doing what you cannot do for yourself. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. And please don't ever forget get that one, please. And they sang a new song before the throne of God and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased, that is, ransomed and redeemed from the earth. Underline the word earth. Here's the note. From spiritual achievement, in reference to the 144,000, came spiritual growth. And from that came spiritual comprehension. All right? Look at the question. Number one, why could no one else sing the song of the 144,000? Well, because they alone went through. They went through. They did not pray to be delivered from, but they went through. And when you go through something, it's going to make a mark on you. It's a mark that's going to stay there. It's going to say, you went through this trial. You went through this hardship. You went through this adversity. You went through this time of testing. And because you did, then God has new meaning to you. And when it comes time to praise Him and adore Him, it's going to have new meaning in your life also. Because they alone went through testing and tribulation, yet maintained their integrity, they alone could sing of what they were able to observe the Father do on their behalf in the time of tribulation. I know Jim Clay, if he were here, he could probably tell you how many times he has done just this. During a time of testing, the testing was good. There's no doubt there was praise and thanksgiving in his life that was not there before. Now, every one of us goes through times of tribulation. If you're going to be a child of God, it's going to happen, whether you like it or not. God is going to allow things to happen. God's intention is that they might produce in us, as it were, a new song, a sympathy. Not yet sympathy, but symphony. Got that? They're very familiar right there. Yeah. There they were in a damp, dark dungeon. How would your attitude be about this time? God just allowed me, He allowed you to be put in a damp, dark dungeon. Would you like it? Probably not. How would you be praying? God, get me out of here just as soon and quick as you can. I don't like it. So there they were in a damp, dark dungeon without even a crust of bread to eat or the ACLU to plead their case. Yet what were they doing? They were singing. Would you be singing at this moment or would you be cussing at this moment? Would you be kicking the can or kicking the dog? Would you and God have a good conversation about this time? Would you really be singing unto God with joy and thanksgiving in your heart? Let's continue to read this. They were singing at what time? It's midnight. In the darkest hour. Let me ask you something. When has been your darkest hour? What is your darkest hour at this very moment? And what do you find yourself doing? Are you praying? Are you singing? Are you aggravated with God? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? I'm young. I believe I had a lot of years left to live. So what are you doing with me? Why are you allowing this to happen? I'm not in a really good mood. But what do? They sing at midnight in the darkest hour. Paul and Silas sang. They weren't singing to try to get God to do something. Isn't that what we do, good old Baptist? We're singing, God, do something. We're praying, God, do something. I want you to listen closely. They sang simply because the Lord was with them. If you're going to be with me, please do something about this time of hardship, of adversity, and trial. You're here. Big deal. If you're really here, and I'll repeat it again, what do we normally expect as human beings? Good. God is here. So now God is going to get ready to do something about what I'm going through in a very dark moment of my life. It's not good enough for me to know that God is here. I want to know that God is here and God is getting ready to bring about a miracle of deliverance in my life and everything is fixing to get better. They sang simply because the Lord was with them. When you come to church here on Sunday morning, why do you sing? Do you sing because you need to get something done by God? Or do you just say, you know what, Lord? I am just happy to be here to sing about you, period. They sang simply because the Lord was with them. Paul and Silas weren't weeping or complaining or feeling sorry for themselves. In the middle of their pain and difficulty, notice, in the middle of their pain and difficulty, they were praising the living God. Praising. What is praising? God, I love you. God, thank you for being here. Thank you that I am your possession. Thank you that you know what's going on. And then if you really have the spiritual guts, you'll say, thank you for allowing this dark moment in my life. You know why? It's dark and there's no distractions. And it's just going to be me and you face to face. You know what I'm saying? Word to word. So what do I do? Let me do my work. He says, let me do my work. Peace and hope were coming from the mouths of those with bloody backs. Oh, by the way, there's nothing to eat. I'm irritated because I'm Baptist. There's no midnight snack. There's no toddy. Only the potty. If you get my age. It's dark. I'm not happy. There's nothing to eat. Oh, by the way, my back is very bloody. My skin is ripped. I feel the pain. I'm in a jail cell and there's nothing to lean back on that's going to soothe my back. It's just a stone wall. It's damp. No telling what's on it. God, you could at least put me somewhere nice. Let me ask you something. When God always has you somewhere that's peaceful and nice, is that when He really gets your attention? When does He often get your attention more? In the cell? When it's dark? When you can't handle it? And you really need help? And you got tears in your eyes? And you're about ready to shout? You're about ready to give up? Peace and hope were coming from the mouths of those with bloody backs. In a jail cell, was it natural? Oh, it wasn't natural. Okay, now you're bringing about the supernatural into this stuff. Natural was hard enough. And now we're going to deal with that which is not natural. Paul and Silas were demonstrating to those around them that King Jesus wasn't just ruling their message, He was also ruling their lives. Top of page 2. Acts 16:25. But what about midnight? About midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Can I ask you something in all honesty? Are you there? If you were Paul and Silas, would you be doing what they had been doing? But about midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now stay with me. You say that hasn't been my experience. My job, my health, my life is a dungeon to me. And I'm not happy. God's intent is to give you a new song. But there's one thing that will stand in the way. There's that word, sympathy. Sympathy. You see, you can either go through challenges. Would you underline that word or phrase, go through challenges? And hard times with a symphony in your heart? Because the Lord has promised not only to strengthen you, here's the key, in them, I'll strengthen you, but to walk with you through them. Or you can choose to get sympathy from people. You know people that live off of sympathy? They drink it, they eat it like food. Poor, pitiful me. Well, you must have a poor, pitiful God. Or you don't have a relationship with Him. Or maybe you just don't know Him. Or you can choose to get sympathy from people. If you choose to tap into sympathy, it will always be at God's expense, because the underlying, though unspoken, implication is that what is happening in your life is out of God's control. Can I ask you a question? What is out of God's control? I am all ears.
Nothing.
Nothing. So what is it God can't control? Nothing. So sympathy should not be in the Christian vocabulary. Is that correct? You want to give me sympathy? What for? What does sympathy do? Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you sorry? Are you saying, God, I'm so sorry that you're trying to bring about something extraordinary, supernatural in the life of this saint, and I'm so sorry for it? Can't you hear God to say, can you just butt out for a moment? I'm really trying to bring about something good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So God can say, you know what, you need to butt out. And He says also, I'm working according to my purpose that you know nothing about. It's beyond your human reasoning. But if you'll just leave me alone, step aside and let me do my work with this child of mine, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm trying to make them a clone of Jesus Christ. Point one. God is totally, absolutely, completely, what's that next word?
Faithful.
Now we'll underline that word. What is faithful? He can be trusted. You can put your confidence in Him. He's going to bring about divine persuasion. Can you move in the direction of anything Christian or spiritual without first divine persuasion? Try it. It won't work. There'll be a counterfeit move. So God is totally, absolutely, completely faithful, trustworthy, to meet us in every trial, in every difficulty. So don't let His plan get short-circuited by those who say, I feel sorry for you. I don't want your sympathy. It does no good. What I'm dealing with right now is a challenge. But I am discovering the Father is exactly who He claimed to be. Where did you discover that? In the challenge? A God who comforts me completely? What was His name? God? Is there a human being, a child of God, that can comfort another one completely? If they say a good word or have a good thought in your direction, how long will it last? And then you're looking for somebody else. You're looking to make another phone call. So how many do you have to talk to really get comforted? Is God enough to comfort you? Am I not talking to other people? And I know we can have a good word to say to one another, but do we know what to say? Do we know how to say it? Do we know what that person really needs at the moment, the next day, the next week that is to come? Who's the only one that knows that? It's God. Do you see what the message is? It's all about God. It's not about the dungeon. It's not about the jail cell. It's not about the food. It's not about the darkness. It's all about God with you and bringing you to the point that you can sing at midnight and sing in a dirty dungeon and you can pray in a jail cell. And hunger's not going to keep you from God. I know this is getting down and dirty this morning. But do you realize the world you are living in at this moment is getting down and dirty and more corrupt as I speak and you live? We are involved in a war. It is spiritual warfare. And if you don't get spiritually toughened up, you will not make it. But if you stay with God and you understand He's all you need, you will make it. The 144,000 flaming Jewish evangelists, they started out with 144,000. They ended at the end of the tribulation with 144,000. My child, the Lamb of God is standing. He's standing on Mount Zion. He's standing in a stance of victory. Does not the Bible say that you, Christian, are in Jesus Christ? So when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, stands, you stand with Him in a stance of victory. Understand that. And you walk around with your head up and a smile on your face and a new song in your heart that you've never sung before. My Savior stands in victory and I am in Him and He has lifted me up through the death, burial, and resurrection and I stand with Him. Let's go back up. What I'm dealing with right now is a challenge. Everybody got a challenge in your life? If you don't have one, wait, it'll come. But I am discovering the Father is exactly, I am discovering what did it take for you to discover all of this good stuff. The Father is exactly who He claimed to be, a God who comforts me completely. It's tempting to let people feel sorry for us, but we mustn't because it puts God in a bad light. Don't settle for sympathy, gang. Go for the what? Symphony. There you go. Verses 4 and 5. Don't ever eat candy that will dry your mouth out because you'll stutter and you can't get your words out, Joey, okay? I tried that this morning. Okay, verses 4 and 5. These are the ones who had not been defiled by relations with women, for they are celibate. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been purchased and redeemed from among men of Israel as the first fruits, sanctified and set apart for special service. Are you set apart for special service? For God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth, for they are blameless, that is spotless, untainted, beyond reproach. These 144,000, I had some guy just rake me over the coals. He said, you know what? One of the tribes are lost and I am so worried about it. I looked at him. I thought, are you that stupid or what? I said, do you not think God knows where that lost tribe is? Amen. Thank you so much. They speak with authority. They have the Lord on their minds constantly. They have a song in their heart personally. They see the Lamb's, Jesus Christ, directives very clearly. It's all built and based on the fact that they are people of purity. Verse 6a. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. So the 144,000 have been the infantry. Now here comes the air support, and it's not Tom Cruise. Question, top of page 3. Do angels have a great desire and interest in preaching the everlasting gospel? The answer is yes. How long have the angels been going to school to get ready for this ministry? A long time. Long time. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:12. They were finally told that these things would not occur during their lifetime. But long years later, during years, and now at last, this good news has been plainly announced to all of us. It was preached to us in the power of the same heaven-sent Holy Spirit who spoke to them. And it is all so strange and wonderful that even the angels in heaven would give a great deal to know more about it. Wow. So Paul goes on to say that when we meet together, we need to be sensitive to the angels that are in our midst. And to you that are raising 2-year-old and 3-year-old and 4-year-olds, and his grandparents that keep them, yes, they are little angels. Don't ever forget that. 1 Corinthians 11:10. Therefore, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head for the sake of the angels, so as not to offend them. Are angels studying right along with us? The answer is yes. What are they studying? The Scriptures? This may surprise you. No. Do they already know Scripture? Yes. What are they studying? Us. They're trying to figure out this thing called grace. Having never fallen into sin, how are they to learn about grace? By watching us. Now, I just picked out some names here. How could God use John? Can't you just hear the angel saying that one? You might want to slip your name in there. How could God use John? Why would he put up with Janice? How could Kent be part of his chosen priesthood? My gosh. They wonder. But the time is coming when their schooling is going to be over and they'll be released in the tribulation to preach the everlasting gospel. Verse 6b. And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, Jesus said that the end of the world, as we know it, will come after the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the entire world. So nothing will hinder the transmission of the eternal gospel. Here's the point. Even while judgment and persecutions are being poured out on the earth, widespread, let me change it, grace, evangelism, will be occurring. You know what? If you don't make it to heaven, it's your own fault. Because you've heard the eternal gospel, I dare say. You have. He'll make it plentiful. It'll be abundant. It will be there. You know what? You don't have to go to hell. And you don't have to go through the 7-year tribulation period. I heard from last week people say, Terry, I don't want to have to put my family through what you read to us at the end of service. I said, you don't have to. You don't have to. Today is the day for your salvation, to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for letting us know we don't need a whole bunch of human reasoning thrown at us. We just need you. To give us the answers, the wisdom, the clarity that we need to live for you. And that you need to live in us and through us. It's not sympathy. How can I be one who says, I need all your sympathy? No, I just need a new song. I need a new song I can sing in the dark. I need a new song that'll bring tears to my eyes, reminding me of what this song is saying. reminding me of what my God has done for me when I did not deserve it. Reminding me who has saved me by grace through faith. Reminding me that I am eternally blessed. That when I leave this world, I'll go into the presence of Jesus Christ immediately. Never a dull moment will exist in heaven. Always a moment of learning and praising. Always a new moment of spiritual apprehension. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus, don't put it off. Come today. For you do not have to go through that awful 7-year tribulation period. You don't have to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You can spend an eternity with Christ. What a joy and a blessing that will be. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Use us to be of help, but also let us know when we need to get out of the way and let you do your work your way. Comfort those that need comforting. We ask that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.